BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on a Friday News Roundup here today on Crosstalk. Our thanks to Molly for preparing many, many stories, gathering them through the course of the week. And as usual, the stack is larger than what we will get through. We'll get into it here in just a moment. But friends, certainly we are living in scripture puts it out very clearly in 2 Timothy 3, the last days, perilous times will come. And perilous, I think, is a very correct descriptive word for where we are right now in our society. How long it's going to last, I don't know. When the Lord's coming back, I don't know. But we do know we need to be faithful. We are to be salt and that we are to be light. And we are to occupy until our Lord Jesus comes again. And so we do so with an understanding of the times in which we live, knowing how we ought to live and respond for such a time as this. And friends, it's no accident that you are right where you are. God has placed you there for such a time as this. So let's be found faithful before Him. Looking into the news here for this week, we're going to begin with Israel national news, because it was on the evening of July 30th that IDF fighter jets attacked the Herak neighborhood of Dahai in Beirut, eliminating Fuad Shaker, that's Hezbollah's strategic array commander. The strike carried out as a response to the attack on the Majal Shams on July 27th that killed 12 Israeli children and injured 50 more. We talked about this on Monday with Chris Katolka. Then on the morning of July 31, Hezbollah officially verified that Shaker was in the building that was attacked in Beirut. His death was confirmed. That he is the leader of Hezbollah's, was the leader of Hezbollah's strategic array, responsible for overseeing the development and deployment of a wide spectrum of cutting-edge weaponry. This included precision missiles and cruise missiles, anti-ship missiles, long-range rockets, and unmanned aerial vehicles. Furthermore, he fulfilled the role of Nasrallah's military consultant. Shaker was a member in Hezbollah's Jihad Council, a body that oversees all of the military and security operations and reports to the Shura Council. They also report that he had a significant role in organizing and carrying out the terrorist attack against the Marines in Beirut back in 1983. That resulted in the death of some 241 U.S. personnel that was under the administration of President Ronald Reagan. Hezbollah is compelled to cease its operations and investigate the breach of intelligence and security due to the feeling of infiltration and persecution produced by the eliminations. Another significant occurrence that transpired the same night was the elimination of Ismail Haniyeh, the leader of Hamas's political bureau, by an unknown actor in Tehran. According to local reports, he was killed while staying at the Iran's Revolutionary Guard compound. His personal escort, also a casualty. He had come to Tehran to attend the inauguration of Iran's new president that took place the previous night. His funeral being held today, and yesterday a ceremony was held in Tehran. Iran declared 3 days of mourning for his death. But folks, hang on to your seatbelts, because more likely is going to come. By the way, Israel National News also reported Defense Minister Gallant confirmed the death of Mohammed Deif. That was dubbed him the Osama bin Laden of Gaza earlier this month. And he said, "We'll pursue Hamas terrorists. We won't rest until the mission is accomplished." He was the commander of Hamas's military wing and second in command of the Hamas terrorist organization in the Gaza. He initiated, planned, and executed the October 7th massacre, in which 1,200 people were killed in southern Israel, 251 hostages abducted into the Gaza Strip. Israel National News also reporting Hamas Political Bureau Chief Ismail Haniyeh was killed by an explosion device that detonated in his room, not by a missile as previously believed. The New York Times reported this on Thursday, setting seven Middle Eastern officials, including two Iranians and an American official. According to the report, the bomb was planted approximately 2 months ago in the guest house, which is managed and protected by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. and is a part of a large compound in northern Tehran. From townhall.com, Iranian leader Ali Khamenei vowed revenge for the assassination. And the criminal terrorist Zionist regime martyred our dear guest, he said, in our country, in our territory, and has caused our grief, but it has also prepared the ground for a severe punishment. From Worthy News, Russia has proposed that the UN Security Council adopt a statement to condemn the assassination of the Hamas leader, but the proposal was blocked by the United States, the UK, and also by France. Gatestone Institute tells us that the U.S. had donated close to $1 billion of taxpayer money to Gaza, ruled by the officially designated terrorist group Hamas in the 8 months following October 7th. Also, starting on October 7th, Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, in close cooperation with their allies in Iran's terrorist proxy Hezbollah in Lebanon, have launched more than 19,000 rockets. Gathered this number from 19,000 rockets, missiles, and attack drones at Israel. This is a country smaller than New Jersey. 19,000, more than 19,000 rockets and missiles and attack drones. And yet, since October 7th, the Biden administration has rewarded Hamas with the gift of close to $1 billion in U.S. taxpayer money disguised as humanitarian aid, most of which clearly ends up in the hands of Hamas, reports the Gatestone Institute. The Free Beacon reporting Iran reportedly took in nearly $16 billion in profits from its illicit oil trade over the past several months, heightening the Biden-Harris administration's perennial lax enforcement of sanctions meant to stymie Tehran's cash flow. Iran's illicit oil trade, which is heavily sanctioned by the U.S. and other Western nations, has hit a boom period under the Biden-Harris administration, topping around $90 billion as of March. This cash has helped to keep the hardline regime afloat amid economic uncertainty and helps Tehran fund its network of terror proxies, including Hamas and Hezbollah. That report in the Free Beacon. From hotair.com, Secretary Mayorkas has replaced Director Cheadle with the man whose job was to oversee the protective detail which followed. Let that sink in, he says. The man who should be the one of those being investigated is now running the investigation. A former, the acting secretary now of the Secret Service, the acting Secret Service director, I should say, Ronald Rowe, worked for the Obama White House. He worked in the Senate under Judiciary Chair Pat Leahy and a former Democratic staffer. Well, a Secret Service is making changes in the wake of the assassination attempt against former President Trump. The acting director said he traveled to the site on July 13th, the site of the rally from July 13th. He said, "What I saw made me ashamed. As a career law enforcement officer and a 25-year veteran with the Secret Service, I cannot defend why that roof would not be secured." He also added, "To prevent similar lapses from occurring in the future, I directed our personnel to ensure every event site security plan is thoroughly vetted by multiple experienced supervisors before it is implemented." Also, Acting Secretary Director Ronald Rowe testified before the Senate Judiciary and Senate Homeland Security Committee on Tuesday. It was a joint hearing on the assassination attempt of President Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania on July the 13th. I'd like to hear, we're going to hear an exchange this segment and then also right after the break. Here is an exchange that took place with Senator Josh Hawley at this hearing.
Insurance, and as opposed to zeroing in on one
what more do
or
you need
two
to investigate to know
exactly what the
what more do you need to investigate
was.
To know that there were critical enough failures that some individuals ought to be held accountable. I mean, what more do you need to know?
What I need to know is exactly what happened, and I need my investigators to do their job, and I cannot,
a lot of people didn't
I
do their
cannot
jobs.
Put my thumb on the scale. Otherwise,
what do you mean put your thumb
the
on
objective,
the scale?
You're asking me, Senator, to completely make a rush to judgment about somebody failing. I acknowledge this was a failure of the
Is it not prima facie that somebody has failed? A former president was shot.
Sir, this could have been our Texas school book depository. I have lost sleep over that for the last 17 days,
then
just like
fire
you have.
Somebody
and I will tell you, Senator, that I will not rush to judgment, that people will be held accountable, and I will do so with integrity. and not rush to judgment and put people unfairly persecuted.
We
have to be able to have a proper investigation into this, Senator.
You said earlier that you've got to make sure that your protocols are followed, and unless there's a protocol violation, people wouldn't be disciplined. I would just say to you, I don't really care that much about your protocols. I think if your protocols don't provide for the fact that when a former president is shot, when an American is killed, when other rallygoers, innocent people who just showed up on the day, when they are shot at and critically wounded, if that isn't a protocol violation prima facie, you should revise your protocols.
Senator, I think this is where you and I agree. This was a failure, and we will get to the bottom of it.
Well, I hope you're going to do something about it. Let me ask you something else. The Real Clear Politics reports this morning that you were directly involved in denying additional security resources and personnel, including counter-snipers, not just to this event, but over the last 2 years, that President Trump's team repeatedly asked for these additional resources, and you personally were involved in denying them. Is that true?
Senator, as I stated earlier, that is not true.
So you never denied any resources to former President Trump's team?
No, not me. No, sir.
And you weren't involved in any of that? You were never involved in the decision making?
No, sir, I was not.
Let me ask you just one or two other things here quickly. Well, whistleblowers tell me that, in fact, law enforcement were stationed to be on that roof and that law enforcement abandoned their post because it was too hot. Is that accurate?
Senator, I have heard that as well. They posted up inside. And I think moving forward, as I said earlier, we're going to ensure that state and local counter snipers are on roofs.
But do you know if someone was supposed to be on the roof? Do you know if someone was in fact? That's what the whistleblower tells me. That may or may not be accurate. Do you know that to be the fact? Was somebody posted to the roof, local law enforcement or whomever?
I do not know that to be a fact.
Well, can I ask you why you don't know that?
Again, Senator, we are looking at this, and they should have been on that roof. And the fact that they were in the building is something that I'm still trying to understand.
I just want to express my frustration, Director, that 17 days or whatever it's been, that whistleblowers are telling us more than you are, and you don't know, you haven't ascertained if there was supposed to be law enforcement on the roof. That seems like a pretty basic fact. I'm also told that local law enforcement suppliers offered the Secret Service drones, and you declined them. Is that true?
So, Senator, I've been very transparent and forthcoming.
Your agency has not been transparent and forthcoming, so please, let's not go there.
I have been forthcoming, sir.
That remains to be seen. You've been on the job a few days. So far, you've fired nobody. Now, the drones.
Thank you,
sir. Were you offered drones?
Senator Hall.
So there was an offer to fly a drone on that day.
And why did you deny it?
I think the ability of local law enforcement to provide an asset, we probably should have taken them up on it if it was offered.
Probably should have taken them up on their offer. Senator Josh Hawley grilling really the new acting director of the Secret Service. We're going to be taking a quick break here on Crosstalk, and I also want you to hear one other exchange that took place with Senator Ted Cruz in regard to the July 13th, which, by the way, friends, is 3 weeks ago tomorrow, and looking for answers on these matters. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president, author, and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the ark big enough to carry all the animals that needed to be on board?
Most assuredly it was, Chris. The ark was even bigger than it needed to be. Carefully estimating how many different kinds of animals there were before the flood and the average size, we see that the ark was more than sufficient for the task. In fact, it probably could have carried many more animals. I suspect that it also could have carried many more humans, too. But they had all rejected God's offer to repent and get on board. They died in the flood, but there was room on board. Chris, we don't know all the details about the flood, but those that we do know fit very nicely into the Back to Genesis truth of creation and the flood.
If you'd like to go back to Genesis, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
are listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network, a Friday News Roundup, talking right now about the assassination attempt 3 weeks ago tomorrow. We have the grilling that is taking place of the acting Secret Service Director now, Ronald Rowe. And not only was he grilled by Josh Hawley, but I want you to hear also the exchange that took place between he and Senator Ted Cruz.
And who makes the decision to deny those requests? Did you make that decision?
Which requests? Are you talking about the ones that were in the Washington Post?
Yes.
So the process, sir, is that a detail will make a request for either staffing, technical assets, that is handled between the field office and the detail. It goes up to a logistics office.
So there's a bureaucracy. Is there a decision maker?
It's not a bureaucracy, Senator.
Give me the
person
that's a decision maker. Is there one?
Senator, it's a conversation. It's not just an absolute yay or nay.
So let me tell you what I believe. I believe that the Secret Service leadership made a political decision to deny these requests. And I think the Biden administration has been suffused with partisan politics. Did the same person who denied the request for additional security to President Trump also repeatedly deny the request for security to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whose father was murdered by an assassin and whose uncle was murdered by an assassin? Did the same person make that decision?
Senator, what I will tell you is that Secret Service agents are not political.
Okay, you're not answering my question. But you know what? Leadership appointed by the president,
leadership
appointed by the president is political. I have a simple question, yes or no. Did the same person deny the Trump request that also denied the RFK request? That's a yes or no question.
Senator, that is not a yes or no question. One, there is a process for a candidate nominee to receive protection.
Is it a bicameral bipartisan process? What camera?
For a candidate,
you don't have a camera.
Mr. Kennedy submitted a request that was referred over to the CPAC.
Okay, you're refusing to answer the question. Let me ask, because the failures on that day were catastrophic. By the way, is it true that on the day of the Butler event that Secret Service transferred agent from President Trump to the First Lady?
No, sir, that's not true.
That's been widely reported.
It's not true. There was one airport agent that actually went on the manpower request for the Trump detail. They handled the arrival at the airport.
What was the relative size of the Trump detail compared to the detail that is assigned to the President or the First Lady?
Senator, the former president travels with a full shift, just like the president.
What's the so the exact same size? Is that your testimony that President Trump had the same size detail that President Biden has?
On the day of in Butler, the agents surrounding him, it is the same number of agents surrounding the president today. There is a difference between a sitting president who also not only...
Hold on. You're using president in a way that is not clear. Is it your testimony that in Butler, Pennsylvania, Donald Trump had the same number of agents protecting him that Joe Biden has at a comparable event?
I'm telling you the shift, the close protection shift surrounding.
That's what you asked me,
Senator, and I'm trying to answer it.
You are not answering it. Is it the same number of agents or not?
Senator, there is a difference between the sitting president of the United States.
Then what's the difference?
The difference?
2X, 3X, 5X,
National
10X?
Command Authority to launch a nuclear strike, sir.
How many more agents? Sir, you are refusing to answer the number of Secret Service agents protecting him. Stop interrupting me.
Go ahead,
you
Senator.
You are refusing to answer clear and direct questions. I am asking the relative difference in the number of agents between those assigned to Donald Trump and those assigned to Joe Biden. I'm not asking why you assign more to Joe Biden. I'm asking, is the difference, is it 2X? Is it 3X? Is it 5X? Is it 10X?
Senator, I will get you that number so you can see it with your own eyes. Senator.
Well, there we have heated exchanges taking place earlier this week. And on July 30th, this now from Breitbart, over 2 weeks after the assassination attempt against Donald Trump, by the way, tomorrow again, 3 weeks, FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate said that the agency still does not know how the would-be alleged assassin got a rifle onto the roof from which he fired. It is amazing. And according to the official narrative, and now I'm looking at an article from the Gateway Pundit. Crooks did the following all by himself without an insider's help. He flew a drone over the Pennsylvania fairgrounds and got aerial footage of the rally layout in the day of the event, including 2 hours before Trump took the stage. He got a rangefinder through security, evaded law enforcement officers from several different state, local, and federal agencies, somehow climbed up a roof with his rifle 450 feet away from Trump, bear crawled to the perfect vantage point as bystanders alerted police, and was still able to take 8 shots at Trump. Parked a vehicle full of explosives near the Trump rally. Crooks was able to walk around the premises after snipers took a photo of him looking suspicious. A sniper located in the second-story window was only 40 feet away from Crooks and did not neutralize him. Trump was still able to take the stage after Crooks was pegged as suspicious by Secret Service. Don't have time to go into details, but we understand there was also a lapse last weekend in Nashville that caused a delay for President Trump to take the stage. Just the News reports Senator Roger Marshall Wednesday called for a crisis intervention team to take over the Secret Service following the security failures. He said, "I've seen enough. This acting administrator is prejudiced." Also, the New York Post reporting that one of the men that was critically wounded at Trump's deadly campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania earlier this month has been released from the hospital. Still has a long road to recovery, his family said. James Copenhaver of Moon Township suffered life-altering injuries after he was struck by errant bullets. He was one of 3 rally goers shot, the last surviving victim to be released from the hospital. SRN News reporting a Pennsylvania congressman who witnessed the assassination attempt against former President Trump firsthand is going to be leading the House task force charged with investigating what went wrong and recommending solutions to help ensure such an attack does not happen again. And Todd Starnes has quite an article about how efforts by Facebook and Google and other news agencies all are being caught up in erasing and diverting people away from the events of the Trump assassination attempt. Okay, Breitbart is reporting most Americans say Vice President Kamala Harris was a great deal involved in the cover-up of President Joe Biden's health, according to a YouGov/Time survey. The survey asked to what extent, if at all, were the following involved in covering up Biden's health, listed several options like Harris or the news media, the Biden family, Democrats in Congress, the White House staff. Perhaps the most notable is the fact that blame is placed on Harris. 68% say she was involved a great deal in covering up Biden's health, followed by 17% who think that she was somewhat involved in the cover-up. And speaking of Kamala Harris, she is really become adored by the media, fawning over her. Just over a week ago, it was lesbian Senator Tammy Baldwin that opened for Kamala Harris's first presidential campaign rally. That's the headline of LGBTQ Nation. Lesbian Senator Tammy Baldwin joined for Kamala Harris's first presidential campaign rally. Then also from LifeSiteNews.com, Kamala Harris perhaps accidentally, perhaps purposefully, launched her campaign on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars in a video clip that was shared on X. After President Joe Biden's announcement Tuesday night that he would not seek re-election, more than 1,100 pro-LGBT political leaders, Hollywood celebrities, and social media influencers reportedly signed a letter announcing their support for Harris, the White House said. The letter cites Harris as a champion for the Equality Act and the Respect for Marriage Act, and it identifies the Biden-Harris administration has been the most pro-LGBTQ+ administration in history. The LGBTQ+ community is sending a message loud and clear. We are united in support of the experienced, tough, pro-equality Vice President Kamala Harris, and will do everything it takes to defeat Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, Human Rights Campaign President Kelly Robinson said. Also very interesting, as reported by LGBTQ Nation, over 25,000 LGBTQ+ people attended the Human Rights Campaign's Out for Kamala Harris virtual event. During the event, over 40 LGBTQ+ and allied actors, activists, government officials, and drag performers all shared their enthusiasm for Kamala Harris. It's reported the event was live streamed via Zoom and YouTube, included multiple queer actors, also Democratic LGBTQ+ elected officials. It included drag performers and included CNN anchor Don Lemon and Wonder Woman actress Linda Carter and various activists and queer members of the Harris campaign, reports, again, LGBTQ Nation. And here we go again, as the same publication is telling us. Friends, there's an additional takeover of the calendar that's going on. Set aside the month of August, because on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, the San Diego City Council voted unanimously to declare August Transgender History Month in the Southern California city. With the rise in anti-trans hate and bigotry, I want our trans community to know that I see you, I respect you, and I love you, as does this entire council, said Councilmember Jennifer Campbell. More importantly, our city honors and celebrates all of the wonderful contributions you have made to San Diego. Happy Transgender History Month. Now, that's the month of August, but friends, keep in mind, October is LGBTQ History Month. So we have a Transgender History Month now that has been declared for San Diego. How long before it becomes for this full state of California? How long before it's declared a Transgender History Month for the entire nation? Followed by the month of October for LGBTQ History Month. Friends, and it doesn't stop. I mean, here's NotTheBee.com. In a significant move to combat racism on a global scale, the International Botanical Congress. Now, this is not the Bee. This is not the spoof site. This is one that tells the news, but it sounds like it's spoof. The International Botanical Congress has taken a stand by deciding to rename over 200 photosynthetic species, which include plants, algae, and fungi. And they're doing so because evidently there are many racist names for various plants. They voted to create a special committee dedicating to renaming plants and getting rid of offensive slurs in the plant world. According to Guardian, Kevin Thiel, a plant taxonomist at Australia National University who proposed the change, said that he was relieved. It was a small step toward addressing this issue. Well, so much other information and news this week. This from Jihad Watch. Three Palestinian terror suspects caught after crossing border illegally as overwhelmed agents warn, "I probably let terrorists in." This on the New York Post. Border agents detained three Palestinian migrants who illegally crossed the southern border after they were found to have possible ties to terrorist organizations earlier this month, according to sources. One of the migrants had salacious photos on their phone, including a picture of a masked man holding an AK-47 rifle, federal law enforcement sources said. In addition to the three Palestinian, federal authorities caught one migrant from Turkey who was also suspected of having ties to terror groups. The Center Square reports 1 year after Texas installed marine barriers in the Rio Grande River near Eagle Pass, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit has ruled that Texas has the legal right to do so. It also reversed a district court's preliminary injunction and remanded the case back to the court with instructions to vacate the preliminary injunction and for further proceedings consistent with the opinion. The court ruled in favor of Texas on a 10-7 vote. We've got some more stories on issues pertaining to the border and other topics as well. We will be back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Pastor Ken Spilger was discouraged. His church was not growing like he desired, and he wanted God to do something. He was invited to fly to a pastor's conference. On the way back, the plane hit trees just short of the runway. It crashed and erupted into a fireball. The pilots and two other pastors were killed instantly. Ken Spilger was the sole survivor of the crash and was pulled from the burning wreckage of the plane. He spent months at a hospital's burn unit. Ken's story is documented in Pulled from the Burning, a powerful documentary that shows how God changed his life, his family, and his church. Pulled from the Burning is available for a donation of $15. The set includes a Blu-ray disc, a DVD, and a digital download. For Pulled from the Burning, call VCY America, 1-800-729-9829.
It's News Roundup Week and the News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk. Thank you for joining us. Many different stories and matters taking place this week. Here we have from townhall.com, an illegal alien Virginia accused of running over a woman and killing her in Virginia after he stole her vehicle in a carjacking. According to Fox 5 DC, the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office, this 21-year-old Jose Aguilar Martinez charged in the killing of Melody Waldecker on Sunday. The suspect fled the scene, located and arrested 45 minutes later. From El Salvador, living in the U.S. illegally, the Office of Enforcement and Removal Operations for Washington, D.C. confirmed this to Fox 5. Also, reporting to the Daily Wire this week, a Texas police officer shot multiple times this past Sunday during a shootout with a 25-year-old Venezuelan national who entered the U.S. illegally, has been released by Border Patrol, Fox News reported. The shootout began after officers from the San Antonio Police Department responded to a domestic violence call and ended with the suspect dead and an officer wounded. Officers expected to survive. That was following a surgery that had taken place for him. Also, let's see. Here we have from Breitbart, President Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris's Department of Education is issuing a proposed rule to open taxpayer-funded college preparatory programs to illegal aliens. The programs were initially intended for low-income young Americans. In July, the Department of Education rolled out its proposed rule to expand federal TRIO programs to illegal aliens, reports the story. The proposed rule seeks to get illegal aliens into the program, such as the Talent Search Program, the Educational Opportunity Centers Program, and the Upward Bound Program that were created and meant for low-income Americans from disadvantaged backgrounds. Representative Jim Banks said that the, and this is a congressman from Indiana, said the Biden-Harris administration's proposal would take college preparatory aid away from American citizens and give it to illegal aliens. And border issues is continuing front and center in the run-up for the nomination for president, or the vote, I should say, for president here of the United States of America. And as such, J.D. Vance took to the platform to share his views on what would come under a Harris administration.
Now, everybody knows that Kamala Harris owns every failure of the ultra-liberal policies in the last 4 years. As America's border czar, and she was the border czar, the media all said it, Kamala Harris is directly responsible for the worst border crisis in this nation's history. On her watch, more than 10 million illegal aliens have invaded our country, and it wasn't by accident, it was by design. Creating this flood of illegal immigration is the purpose of the ultra-liberal immigration policies. They said they were going to do it, and then they did it on Kamala Harris's first day in office. They suspended deportations, they stopped building Donald Trump's border wall, they reinstated catch and release, and they proposed amnesty for millions of illegal aliens. On the first moment, from the moment go, Kamala Harris and the Democrats sent engraved invitations to millions of illegal immigrants around the world. And now they're here because they were invited. They were invited by our own border czar. Can you believe it? Now, the chief of Border Patrol was appointed over a year ago, but Border Czar Kamala Harris hasn't even spoken a single word to him. This administration handed 3 million work permits to illegal immigrants, destroying American jobs and crushing American wages. And if the Border Czar wins, she will not only give jobs to illegal aliens, she's talking about giving them free health care, free tuition, all paid for at your expense. I agree. Worst of all, Kamala Harris would happily erode every protection we have to prevent them from voting. She wants to hand over control of our country to people who shouldn't be here in the first place, and we cannot let her. And I have a message, a very simple message to the millions of illegal aliens who are in this country and shouldn't be. If you are here, start packing your bags right now because Donald J. Trump is coming back into office.
J.D. Vance speaking to the issue of illegal immigration. And also from townhall.com, two illegal aliens who attacked New York Police Department cops released back onto the streets after prosecutors agreed to release them without bail. According to a report from the New York Post, Brian Joseph and Jose Gonzalez both arrested after an altercation with police officers on 8th Avenue. One of the illegals allegedly bit one officer. The other hurled a moped at another. During their court appearance this past Monday, Manhattan prosecutors released them. An officer said, what kind of message is this sending to the public? This was a Manhattan officer. He said they are basically saying anyone in blue uniform is a human piñata. Another cop told the Post that the decision is allowing open war on cops. From Fox Business, President Biden says his administration is taking another major step in student debt handouts as the Department of Education will start emailing tens of millions of Americans, informing them of potential options heading their way around the time of the presidential election. The Department of Education says all borrowers with at least one outstanding federally held student loan should expect a message in their inbox notifying them that they have until August 30th to call their senator and opt out if they don't want the relief, the rules of which are expected to be finalized by the department this fall. And incidentally, friends, here from NBC Palm Springs, the U.S. national debt hit a record $35 trillion. It's even outpacing the predictions of economists. Amazing. Todd Starnes reporting children in Massachusetts will no longer have mothers or fathers. House Bill 4750 would ensure legal equality for parents, would update the state's general laws establishing parentage, custody, support, and visitation of a child. The bill would replace the use of mother with person who gave birth. It would also replace the term man and woman with persons and replace mother with person who gave birth. Significant legislative development. It was called an act to ensure legal parentage equality. State House members passed the bill 156-0 before the state Senate approved it 40-0. They're calling it a major victory for so-called transgender people. Pete Buttigieg. And I know this was mentioned the other day on Crosstalk, but just to hear him say this is amazing. His comments on abortion have sparked an online response from people who say he's defending irresponsible men who don't want to be fathers. He made the statement about abortion being a great thing so that men can be free. Here's what he had to say.
But for all of that, what's really filling my sails right now, and what I think Kamala Harris is expressing so well right now, is the positive side of all this, a reminder of what we are for, namely freedom. I'm so glad she has made freedom the theme of her campaign because I think in so many ways that's what's at stake. And yes, women's freedom is exhibit A after Donald Trump demolished the right to choose. But of course, men are also more free in a country where we have a president who stands up for things like access to abortion care. Men are more free when the leader of the free world and the leader of this country supports access to birth control.
You know, Abby Johnson, it said this, children shouldn't have to die just so men can use a woman's body for pleasure with no consequence. This is a disgusting concept. I mean, Secretary Buttigieg is talking, you know, about killing babies. Killing babies in the womb is a great thing so that men can be free. As we speak about abortion here, from Liberty Counsel, a press release came out about Florida's Amendment 4 that proposes to codify unrestricted abortion in the state's constitution is now slated to come with a financial impact statement on the November ballot. The ballot will contain a brief 150-word allotted warning about how it will likely cost the state a significant amount of taxpayer dollars. The warning states that the amendment may require the state to use taxpayer dollars to fund abortions, invalidate parental consent laws, and negatively affect the growth of the Florida budget over time. Here's what the amendment says. The financial impact statement gives voters seven key warnings. It would require to pay for abortions with taxpayer dollars. The amendment may also increase abortions and decrease live births, decrease the population and thereby affecting school funding, eliminate parental consent laws, eliminate health and safety laws that require only licensed doctors to perform abortions, increase litigation that will cost taxpayer dollars to resolve legal uncertainties, significantly reduce the number of people being born, thus reducing the state growth and revenue over time. That impact statement, a fiscal impact statement to accompany the Florida ballot. From LifeNews.com, the Nebraska Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the Let Them Grow Act. That's a bill that protects babies starting at 12 weeks gestation and also protects minors from gender-altering procedures. And friends, we trust legislators are going to take it to the next step to continue to work to ban all abortions and not say it's okay to do it up to 12 weeks. WND.com, a Planned Parenthood facility in Durango, Colorado, closed temporarily but indefinitely after the abortion chain admitted it cannot find a nurse practitioner to commit abortions there. The Durango Herald reported that services ceasing September 6 due to an ongoing struggle to find a nurse practitioner to keep on staff. Let's pray they never find one. Friends, I'd like to open our phone lines today to give you opportunity to weigh in on these or other current event stories. There is so much that is taking place, not only in the Middle East, but certainly around the world and domestically here as well. The hearings continue in Washington, D.C. I see just within the last couple of hours, it appears that there was a press conference held by the Secret Service as well. There is a contesting of the Venezuela election by the U.S. government. can you believe that? Protesting the election there? Yes, I know that likely a fraud is possible there, but the ones who are very much fighting, the election results here and criticizing those who take exception, certainly that is an issue as well. By the way, Washington Examiner reporting Ohio, our number, by the way, is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Massive prisoner swap took place with Russia, freeing an American journalist and ex-Marine that was held in Putin's jails. And this was agreed to yesterday, a massive exchange of political prisoners with Russia. That story also going on this week. And also it appears that from Jihad Watch, one of the obsessions of the administration, like that of the Obama administration, was shutting down Gitmo and dismantling the last remains of the war on terror. Biden has sidelined 9/11 memorials and was freeing terrorists from Gitmo at a furious pace. And KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and a few other terrorists who couldn't just be set off to Africa or Eastern Europe, were standing in the way, and it appears that they have saved them from the death sentence now at this point and have negotiated that to take place. And here we have in 2023, thousands of 9/11 families signed a letter asking Biden not to cut a deal with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the al-Qaeda mastermind of the attacks, and many others. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Our number, 800-733-9829. Taking your comments today on this week's news. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. Many across the globe were shocked at the opening ceremonies in Paris for the Olympics, as they rolled out a blasphemous opening ceremony that included what seemed to be mocking the Last Supper. And not only that, they also had what appeared to be a pale horse riding right through the opening of the Olympics as well. Well, the Bible tells us that one sign that God has given over a people or country or the whole world is their celebration of the homosexual lifestyle, the LGBTQ lifestyle. There were drag queens and there were transgenders, transvestites mixed in with little children at the opening ceremony. And then a pale white horse that Revelation 6 says signifies something that will kill a fourth of the earth, pestilence, persecution, and more. What are the globalists predicting? Be discerning. I'm Brennan House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. A reminder, less than 100 days now to the November 5th election, and there are elections between now and then that are so important, with primaries coming up, congressional primary dates here on August 6th, Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, Washington, certainly important dates on your calendar for this coming Tuesday, we trust. And Michigan, Missouri, and Washington all will be electing U.S. senators and, of course, congressional seats for your state as well. We do encourage you to be informed on the issues that are on your ballot in your state, to be informed and to cast a prayerful vote as you go to the polls. And early voting has begun in Wisconsin already as well for the upcoming primary on the 13th, and Minnesota coming up on the 13th, Connecticut, Vermont, also on that day, and then later on the 20th, Alaska, Florida, Wyoming taking place, and still others coming up in the month of September. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk, and lines are all filled at the moment, but we're going to begin in Albuquerque with Ken. Ken, you're on the air.
Hey, hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
My comment is on abortion. I'm against abortion. I do love Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. But one thing I'm failing to hear from a lot of Christian talk shows and radio and things and even on the air is that being abortion being wrong in God's eyes and those who believe in that view for Christ, we're not really addressing the problem, which is not just abortion, but sex outside of marriage and using abortion as birth control. That's one statement or one question I was just kind of curious how you felt on. And the other one is...
Let me just quickly answer that, Ken, and that is fornication is wrong. Fornication is sin. So, yes, sex outside of marriage is sinful. And but it is also that happening within the bonds of marriage as well, in which abortion is taking place. That is also sinful. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Life is made in the image of God.
Yes, I totally agree. And there's so many different facets. And yes, you're right. We have one or two comments, but I'm just wondering why we're not focusing on that. We're focusing on abortion. And the other side doesn't believe it because they don't see it. Of course, their eyes are veiled and they can't see it. So I understand that. So their stance is, well, you know, abortion isn't really wrong in their eyes, but, their stance also is like it's for the life of the mother, incest and rape. And I don't know how many cases there are like that. I know that's an excuse at some point. But it's also their valid point that they see. What is your view on that? I don't know what the.
Well, I don't thank you for the call here. And I understand it's less than 3%. Taking place there, but again, when do we kill the victim? When do we kill the victim? The child is the innocent party in all this, and should not have that life taken as a result. And certainly, as we've interviewed physicians, many physician statements have come forth that abortion is not necessary. That the physicians have the duty to save both, and they work to save both lives. And certainly, if a mother is involved in needing a critical surgery, surgeons need to go ahead and commit that critical surgery on the mother to preserve her life. And Lord willing, they're going to work also to save the life of the baby. But not making the baby the victim in the case of rape or incest is just preposterous that we would issue a death sentence on the baby as a result. Thanks for the call. Others are lined up here as well. Greg in Los Alamos, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for my call. I'm worried. Trump seems to be playing both sides at once in that he talks about, you know, America first all the time, but then he just had this big conference with all the crypto guys promising that America is basically going to be number one in this brand new world global banking thing. And then also that he's dumping Project 2025, which I don't know is a good or bad thing. I know the leader of it, the guy that just got put in charge when the other one stepped down, is a member of a secret Catholic organization, OPEDM or something like that. and he picks a Catholic for his vice president. What's up with that?
Well, give me your comment on it. I mean, just give you your chance to comment. What's up with that? What's your take on that, Greg?
Well, I don't know. From everything I've listened to that, you know, you said and Brandon Howe has said about Catholics, I'd be very, very worried at having another one in the White House. I mean, we've already had two, and the country hasn't done well under them.
Okay, thank you for your comments here, Greg. And again, this is a matter of certainly who is going to lead our nation. I don't believe that we're talking about a pastor for the nation as far as coming from the White House. And that is something also to keep in mind with this as well. We believe that there are some very strong differences between what the Bible teaches and what is taught through Roman Catholicism as well. Things that have been enumerated in the past here on this program. Randy in Tomo, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Jim. There's two questions that I found out today. I got something in the mail for, you know, Tuesday on August 13th in Wisconsin here, and that are going to be under concerning our state constitution. And the two questions are delegation of the appropriation of power. Mm-hmm. So Section 35 of Article 4.
Tell you what, we're not going to have time to have you read through it because those are lengthy questions, but I would like to.
Okay.
Wisconsin Family Council has just put out a piece on that, and you can reach out to Wisconsin Family Council on the two referendum questions in the state of Wisconsin. Basically, it's right now the governor has an open checkbook. You get all this like COVID money, and at his discretion without the state legislature. And as a result, Planned Parenthood has reaped the benefit of that, and this would put the brakes on that from happening. But you can reach out to Wisconsin Family Council at 1-888-378-7395. And they can further address those questions here for you. Well, friends, I'm looking at the clock and our closing music already underway. And we're sorry to other callers that are on hold here at the present time. We've just simply run out of time. Certainly, these are troubling times in which we live. But, friends, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And certainly, let's let our light shine for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, the Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church this Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.